Welcome again to the Silverlight Photo Co. podcast. I'm really excited about an idea that I have, and what I'm thinking of doing is using the new feature in Anchor and Spotify to create a poll. And so I'm going to ask a question at some point in the podcast. I'm going to say, you know, take a look at the poll and let me know what you think. And the question is going to be something like, what do you think of this idea? Or I don't know. We'll figure out how to phrase the question in a little bit here. But let me try to give the short version of this idea. And then if you're interested, keep listening and we'll go into the details. So if you're acquainted with my website and my general business practice or my general approach, it's all about making budget lenses look their best on every camera that I can test. So, and as of this date today, the cameras I'm testing, if you don't include the Panasonic FC1000, which you cannot take off the lens, but the cameras I'm testing are all Panasonic Micro Four Thirds cameras. And the reason right now is because they are currently, I think, the best bang for the buck for a budget filmmaking camera. So I've got the GH4, the G7, the GX85, and the G85. Now, that is pretty much capturing the entire range of cameras that I consider to be filmmaking tools that are under $600. So $600 is my maximum that I usually try to limit myself to. And that is based on trying to encourage people who are just beginning. And then just really quickly here, of course, I have three kit levels. The first kit level is to have a single interchangeable lens camera. And then on top of that camera to put a GoPro Hero 4 Silver or newer. And that's so that you always follow my number one tip, which is to always shoot with at least two cameras. And then the next level up I call basic, and that is to get a second interchangeable lens camera. And so now you have two interchangeable lens cameras. Plus you can still use the GoPro if you need to. It's, you know, like as a behind the scenes camera or something like that. And then the third level I have is called the advanced level. And that's when I add a camera for the studio that stays in your, you know, like your set studio. And then a fourth camera, which is the Panasonic FC1000. And the reason I use that one, I will have an article on my website if you want to go to the blog page. And it does a lot of things that a lot of cameras in that price range can't do. It's more like a video camera, if you will. It's got electronically actuated zoom, you know, and all these things can be controlled by the Panasonic image app, including the zoom. So the Panasonic FC1000 is more of a video style camera, but yet it's in the form factor of a digital stills camera. So now let's talk about the focus of today's podcast, and that is it's going to be audio. The idea I have is comparable to what I've been doing with lens, sensor, LUTs, and camera settings specific to those lens-sensor combinations. Sort of my the short version of what I do on my website is I will test every lens and camera combination and figure out what the best settings for contrast, sharpness, noise reduction, and color are, and what profile works best. And sometimes you'd be surprised. Sometimes, like for the GH4, a lot of lenses look their best in Cinelike D. And I'm not talking about shooting flat and then doing a lot of post-production. I'm talking about making it look good straight out of camera. And just because Cinelike D is often used to shoot flat, you know, with low contrast and low color and then to grade it later, doesn't mean it can't be used to make it look its best straight out of camera. So an example of what looks good with Cinelike D is that a lot of the Nikon ED series lenses, the ones that came after the AFD, the next ones, they had so much contrast and so much color that it was hard in the natural profile, which is what I would use for a lot of the other cameras. It was hard to take the blacks down enough to look real because it just came out so contrasty with the Nikon optics. But in Cinelike D, I can make lenses, even the 70 to 300 Nikon ED, which is very hard to work with because it has so much contrast and a lot of color saturation. I can make that look realistic on the GH4 in Cinelike D. And I have specific camera settings for that lens. Check out my website, silverlightphotoco.com/LUTs, or you can just search at the upper right of the screen. You'll see a search bar, or if you're on your cell phone, it'll be right in the middle. And you just type in the lens. So type in 70-300 or something like that, or Nikon 70-300. And then you can find the settings for that lens specific to each of those cameras that I'm testing. So you'll see, it's pretty easy to do once you go in. You'll see a thumbnail, and the thumbnail has really large letters, you know, GH4 or G7 or GX85 or G85. So it's very easy to find on my website. But the concept is that every lens sends light to the sensor a little bit differently, and therefore, I mean, I'm doing a lot of work, taking a lot of time. It's an hour to 3 hours for each test, for each lens, to figure out what I consider to be the most honest or accurate and, you know, realistic looking rendering for that lens sensor combination. And I'm putting those settings up on my website, and you can get those for free. And then I make a LUT that does any final adjustments that are needed to bring that up or down in color, whatever it needs. Because you can't really do everything with, you know, plus or minus 5 adjustments. So for audio, this is the idea. For audio, do you think I could do the same thing? I know that, and I'm going to go into a little bit of my theory here, because I really want to expand my my recommendations to maybe just beyond lenses and go into audio gear. And similar to my approach to try to get the most popular cameras and also get the most popular lenses, I'm going to start to also gather up some budget gear. And the budget gear is going to be, obviously, the focus is a good price, but it's also going to be something that, you know, is popular, maybe on Amazon or even used. It's really tough in the microphone, the wireless, especially the microphone industry in the wireless area. There's a lot of deprecation going on because of the changes to the laws about what frequencies are allowed. So you can't really go buy old wireless gear, even if it's professional and, you know, high end. You can't use it. It's not legal to use anymore because of the frequencies that are allowed. So unfortunately, and maybe also fortunately, I won't be able to shop around on, you know, Shop Goodwill and different places that I've found a lot of good deals for lenses. And I'm not going to be able to go and test a lot of different wireless systems. However, there are a few different scenarios where I could test shotgun microphones, perhaps vintage. I've picked up an Audio Technica, if I can get this right, I think AT-835B. Actually, no, I don't have that. I sold that one. But then I've also had, you know, Asden mics. Sometimes you'll run across Rode microphones, shotgun microphones, for good deals on shopgoodwill.com. Of course, OfferUp and Craigslist for your local is also another way to go. But I don't want to go too far into this without explaining why I'm excited about this. So this gets back to a concept I have about doing the hard work to make it easy for others. And what I mean is, when I figure out the settings that I, you know, after testing over and over again a lens with a specific camera body in a specific color mode, at all the different settings that I want to test, it really gets to the point where I am confident that, for instance, if it's, there's so many numbers on my website that you got to take a look at specific to that lens sensor combination. But let's say there's one that has -1 sharp, -1 contrast, -3 sharpness, plus 2 noise reduction and negative 2 color, let's say. And I've tested that, and then I've taken the footage back and I've, you know, done grading with it, you know, color correction, and all those things, and it's proven to be easy to work with. And what I'm doing, and this is actually how I work, is I just go to my website every time I change my lens, and I just see what my recommended settings were, and I type those, you know, I enter those in on my camera. You can make custom settings. That's another way to do it. Although I'm used to going to my website and finding the settings every time, and I've got so many lens tests I'm doing that I kind of run out. You know, you got 3 or 4 custom settings, and at that point you're stuck. But for most people, that's all they're going to need. But I just have a habit of going to my website and change lens, change camera settings. And what's amazing is that it makes it easier to get a good exposure and a file that is easy to grade, even without shooting flat. So yes, there's a little tweaking afterwards sometimes. For instance, if you're shooting and you on a gray day and you want to pop the color more for some reason, you might have to do that yourself. Now, the LUT that I provide is going to bring it to a neutral point where it looks real. It looks like what your eye sees. But if you want to go further and if you want to make it look different, you know, like they call the second stage of color grading, first stage being called correction, second being called grading a lot of the time, you can do that. But my LUTs are designed to bring everything to what I call a base. And that means it looks real. And the contrast and saturation and all of that are as accurate as possible. But again, for audio, is this possible to do something similar? Let me first give you the opposing argument. I can just hear people saying, well, because it's always specific to a person's voice, and it's specific to the microphone, and it's specific, which I'm kind of agree with, and that's why I'm talking about this. But then it's also specific to the recording environment, meaning are you in a room with a lot of echo? Do you have to do noise reduction because of background noise or whatever? You know, you can't just have an EQ that you apply to that microphone all the time. I think that's a good point, but let me just give an argument for having some standard settings for each microphone recorder combination. So this, if this theory works, what this would do is it would be this sort of like the counterpart to my lens sensor settings. It would be microphone recorder settings, or, you know, I have to come up with a catchy name for it, like lens sensor settings. It's going to be something like, you know, device specific audio settings, something like that. And even though I totally agree with the concept that you have to tweak it for your own voice, you have to adjust it for your environment. You may have to take, you know, some noise out of the background if there's a train going by or something like that, unless you want that. That's actually good nat dur or nat sound. So I think that when you get it close, because let's say this microphone tends to have too much bass, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it normal. And I'm not talking about normalizing, which is usually talking just dealing with the level. I'm talking about if that microphone, everybody complains that it has too much bass and they say, oh, I always EQ the bass out or reduce the bass. What I would do is I would just go and bring that to a neutral point so it sounds real, which is my entire goal for filmmaking, is make it real. And so, and the reason I have a lot of reasons for that. One of those is just so that you're not distracted by something that's not, you know, you're like, that color's too bright, or that it just doesn't look real, or it doesn't sound real. Now we're talking about audio. So I want this experience for the viewer to be as natural as possible so they feel like they're really there. And there's no feeling of Yeah, that was a music video. You know, I don't want the feeling of unreality. I want the feeling of you feel like you're really there. So my approach then would be to take the microphone recorder combination and optimize that so you get the best out of that combo. And so as an example, right now I'm recording on a Shure VP83. It's a sort of a Rode VideoMic Pro competitor, but it's all metal and it's a Shure microphone. So, you know, I really like it. I haven't tried the Rode as of this moment right now. I haven't tried the Rode VideoMic Pro. I've listened to a lot of samples, and that kind of is one of those that people say was too bass heavy. But I've listened to a lot of samples, and if I go this way of creating these general settings recommendations for specific microphones and specific to a device, I will get a Rode VideoMic Pro, and I will try to get the Rode VideoMic Pro and get the Rode Go, and you know, all the most popular budget-friendly options, and I will test them with all of the cameras I have. Now, let me throw in a little bit of a variable here, too. I might also test some of the consumer, or let's say, most popular wireless transmitter sets, because, you know, those add a little bit of noise. And I've done I did one review. Check out my YouTube channel on the full AIM WM300. However, that was before this idea. So the idea is, let's say you have a microphone that is a little bit flat, or sometimes they say a little bit tinny, too much treble or too much bass for the Rode VideoMic Pro. Making an EQ specific to that microphone to bring it to a neutral point, that would be my goal. So then you add that, you know, just plug that in and you see how it sounds. And then if you want to go beyond that, it's similar to the color grading step, which would be, you know, step one was color correction, which is what I do. I bring it to that base. And then step two would be color grading, where you're trying to add a specific look to it. Well, in this scenario, you'll have to take that step two, which would be to customize it to your environment or to your voice, etc. So, or to, you know, whatever tweak that you want to put on the audio. But what do you guys think about this idea? So the idea is, if I had a database of EQ settings, and I am not even sure what format this would be in, this is where I need to do some research as far as what's going to be the most efficient for people. But if I had a settings library of, you know, the most popular microphones, now remember, I'm going to be very picky about this, and I'm going to be specific to a device. So it's like, you know, you got to test it with a specific recorder, or with, you know, if you're going straight into the camera's preamp, you got to test it with a specific camera. So that's how I'll do it. You know, I would say, okay, GH4, you know, Rode VideoMic Pro or Rode VideoMic Pro Plus, and with the camera gain set to, you know, all the way down. So there's going to be some standards here, but it's going to be such that you'll try to get the best, you know, get the most out of every microphone you can. Now, let's talk about the wireless aspect here. Do wireless transmitters color the signal? Well, we pretty much know they do, right? Whether it's adding noise, whether it's sort of thinning out the signal, it's just amazing how a high-quality wireless transmitter retains the quality, where a lower-quality one may not. It may, you know, maybe the same microphone capsule, you might take, let's say, you know, a high-quality microphone capsule and then try it on a low-quality wireless transmitter, and you may not get the same results. I mean, you won't. But what's interesting to me, and this is what I'm just been involved in testing this week, and is there are inexpensive wireless transmitters that if you boost the signal before going into that transmitter, and then you take the gain all the way down or really low on the transmitter, it's cleaner. There's not as much, you know, unwanted noise. And so, of course, the reason is because your preamp on your wireless transmitter is probably not that good on the lower cost units. So what does that sound like? That sounds so similar to the concept we all have heard of, where a lot of in-camera preamps on, you know, our budget cameras that I'm testing, they're not that good. Now, they're not that bad, especially when you're talking about one like the G85. The Panasonic G85, I have observed, I'm not saying this after extensive testing yet, but I have observed by listening to others' clips that it's pretty good. And I will test that. However, I won't say that I turned the gain up. No, it's going to be set to the lowest possible. So like we're talking about being able to capture the audio on the G85 is one aspect, or I, you know, might capture it on a Zoom H1 or a Zoom F2. That's going to be a fun one, right? 32-bit float option. And so there's a lot of variables here. I will be very as scientific as I can about it, stating the microphone, the distance from the source. You'll probably get tired of my voice because I'll be the one testing it, but you need that consistency, so you'll always hear my voice as the test. Some days I might be louder than others, so just be aware that I'll try to read the same thing. You know, I'll come up with a script for exactly what I read, and the distance from the mic will be standardized. I have a fairly consistent set that I record in for my YouTube channel, so I'll be trying to sit at the same spot. You know, I've got a sound blanket behind me, not in front of me. That's where the camera is. But there's a lot of things going on that I can control. And so I think it could be fairly standardized. And of course, the more of the samples that you listen to from me and compare one to the other, even if my testing environment is not perfection, you'll still be able to tell the difference between one to the other because they'll be done in the same environment. So that's my idea, is to take this concept of having settings specific to like a lens sensor combination, is how I came up with the lens sensor LUTs idea, specific settings for specific microphone recorder combination, and then throw in there, you know, the option of, well, if you use this wireless transmitter, what does that do to that? And let me just say, there is a possibility that my lens sensor LUT library will be expanding dramatically next spring. Now, this is just a teaser for that, and let me give you a hint, but, number one, I'll be collecting lenses over the winter still. I'm still building my lens collection. I'm sorry if I don't have the lens that you have, because, you know, you go on my website and you look and you say, oh, I wish they had the one I'm using. But I'll be adding lenses, trying to get the most popular lenses first. There are, of course, a number of lenses that are very popular that are very expensive that I'm trying to get, like the Sigma 18-35 1.8. And then the most common companion with that is the Metabones 0.64 focal reducer. Those are both $600. So I haven't done that yet. And so when I do, I'll be excited to announce that on my website. But as I grow my lens library and eventually adding more cameras as well, if you guys want this idea, I'm excited to potentially start doing this for microphones and cameras. So let's talk about that. If you've got any ideas, I'll try to post a video on YouTube at some point so you can comment, but I'm going to try this new feature inside of Anchor and Spotify to leave a poll. So I'll try to phrase my question in such a way that you can say, do you like this idea of microphone recorder or microphone device specific settings? So I'm excited about this. My goal, again, just to summarize, is not to make it so you never have to do any EQ. It's just to get that microphone to a realistic sound so that you can then, on top of that, take it the second step and make some final adjustments to make your voice or whoever's voice you're dealing with sound its best. But my goal is to get you close, right? Because if you can get it close, that only leaves a little bit of work for you in post-production. Whereas if you know your mic's always boomy, too much bass, or whatever the problem with that mic is, wouldn't it be great to be able to take that out, you know, initially and then start from there? So let me know what you think in the poll, and look forward to talking to you in the next episode.